Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls out there, welcome to NFL Draft Bible On the Clock podcast, our series pre-draft detailing every single pick in the NFL draft. The San Francisco 49ers are on the clock with pick number 7. It has been a while. Last playoff appearance in 02. Drafts have gone, coaches have changed, and we are here to talk to one of the lead beat writers out in the San Francisco area, Matt Barrows of the Sacramento Bee. First off, Matt, I want to thank you for taking the time out today and talk a little 49ers and NFL draft with us.
Well, no problem. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, it is a it's been a hellacious offseason, I'll just say that, but we got to start it off right, Matt. Just for the listeners and the 49er fans, what went wrong exactly in 2010? There were some expectations in this division, but give us your take. Singletary and the guys just didn't get it done.
No, they didn't, and you're right. I think the expectations were even higher given the relative quality in the division. Everybody thought that this was going to be one of the poorest divisions in the league, and it was. But they thought that the 49ers had more talent, and they probably did, but they just didn't have, in my opinion, they didn't have the offensive expertise to really utilize that talent to its fullest. Obviously, Mike Singletary is a defensive-minded head coach, having been a linebacker, and his offensive coordinator, the guy that he really leaned on, Jimmy Ray, had a vast knowledge of the NFL, but he tended to skew towards more traditional systems, whereas the NFL is always looking forward and is looking forward more and more towards the passing game. You saw that with the two NFL teams, the two Super Bowl teams, rather, prolific passing attacks, great quarterbacks, and the 49ers just didn't have that. They didn't have a very innovative offense. The quarterback still had question marks, Alex Smith, and it was, for the most part, a very stodgy, predictable offense, and defenses had little trouble stopping them. They knew that if you just stopped Frank Gore, you pretty much were going to stop the 49ers. And so I think that's why they brought in Jim Harbaugh. He's a guy that not only has excellent offensive acumen, he knows quarterbacks. He was a quarterback. He's good at picking them out, having coached Josh Johnson at the University of San Diego, and then, of course, Andrew Luck the last couple of years at Stanford. And I think the 49ers are really hoping that he'll duplicate that Stanford success with the 49ers.
There is certainly a lot of offensive talent to work with on this team. And what I wanted to touch on first, Matt, is what they did in the draft last year. We talk about the expectations. These two young fellas, they drafted specifically to start on the offensive line this year. I don't know that it was the type of transition that they envisioned. What's your take and what you saw from Rutgers tackle Anthony Davis and especially Mikey Iupati, the just man-sized guard? But it was a little bit of a rough start for these fellas.
It was a rough start for both of them. I'll start with Iupati. I thought that by the end of the season, he was terrific at times. He was sort of the spear point of their running game. They basically followed Iupati wherever he went. And you're absolutely right about a man-child. I mean, he's a 335 guy that can move. And so he's able to get off the line of scrimmage quickly and get into that second level of the defense and make devastating blocks downfield. And he was, by the end of the season, he was the guy clearing the way for first Frank Gore, and then after Gore got injured, Brian Westbrook and Anthony Dixon. Davis struggled more. He would have a good game and then have a bad game. He certainly wasn't as protected, being a right tackle, as Iupati was, but you would have lapses. And, of course, at that position, when you have lapses, everybody knows because the quarterback is lying on his back. He really does have very, very intriguing and exceptional athletic skills. Davis, you know, another big, big man, 315, 320 pounds, but he moves so well. The common denominator between the two of them is that they move like tight ends. They can get off the line of scrimmage quickly. They've got quick feet, and I think that the expectations are still high for Davis because physically he had everything you want in a starting tackle. He's just, you know, he's 20 years old when the season began. He could use quite a bit more seasoning.
The Rutgers Scarlet Knight is still a work in progress, but I agree there is still potential there, and got to love what they got out of Iupati here. But the last question on last year's draft, real quick, Matt, one player that we're all intrigued with, and you mentioned it just before with Gore suffering the injury and also Westbrook, free agent long in the tooth. Could we potentially see a little more out of Miss State's Anthony Dixon in 2011? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think you will. First, because Frank Gore has been injured each of the last four seasons, hasn't played 16 full games since his second year in the league, and because Gore is playing in the last year of his contract. And I think the 49ers want to take a good long look at Dixon, who just teeming with potential, but, you know, like Anthony Davis, hasn't really put it together yet, was inconsistent, would show, you know, tremendous flashes. He had a phenomenal preseason game against Indianapolis back in August, as I've ever seen from a running back. He looked like the second coming of Bo Jackson in that game, but didn't really have the consistency during the regular season. So I think they want to see a little bit more from him, you know, before they, you know, allow Gore to leave via his contract, and I believe that they will draft another running back this year because they do need the depth, and because I don't think they're quite reassured yet that the future is Anthony Dixon.
Intriguing young man. What they definitely want to see more, but we've got to get down to business, Matt. What needs to be done, in your opinion, to improve this team? Could you give us maybe the top three needs heading into this offseason and especially this draft, what the team's looking for to address?
Well, I think the very top need is quarterback, both from an importance standpoint and from a numbers standpoint. Once the league year ends in a couple of days, they're only going to have one quarterback, David Carr, under contract, and nobody sees him as the future of the organization at that position. So, I think they're going to draft a quarterback. I think they're going to have to bring one in through free agency. They may even have to trade for one. So I think they're going to have to exhaust all the avenues possible in order to restock that position, so to speak. And then after that, I think you're looking at two defensive positions. As bad as the 49ers have been in the passing game, they've also struggled at stopping the pass. And I think a pass rusher, you know, everybody wants a Clay Matthews these days. I think that's somebody that they'll look for in the draft. Maybe, you know, it should Von Miller, you know, fall to seven, and it's looking like he might not. But I think that's the type of guy that they would go after. And then the last one would be cornerback. Nate Clements is due to make quite a bit of money. His big contract that he signed a few years ago is backloaded. So these are the years that, you know, the big, big salaries start to come into play for him. So there's a very good chance that he won't be around. So they need that number one cornerback on that team. And, of course, you're looking at two guys at the top of the draft, Patrick Peterson from LSU and Prince Mukamara from Nebraska, who could possibly kind of fill that role. So I think those are the three that the 49ers are looking at most heavily.
Those are definitely big needs coming in, and I've got to agree, man, about Von Miller. Every time I turn around, he's doing something else spectacular. The 40 time was phenomenal. His interviews are great. The kid just it seems like he can do no wrong at times. So I don't know if he will fall to 2-7. You are listening to On the Clock with the San Francisco 49ers. We are joined by lead beat writer for the 49ers, Sacramento Bee, Matt Barrows. And we alluded to it earlier, and I've got to put you on the spot here, Matt. Does Alex Smith deserve another year? We hear he's talking to Harbaugh. What's your take on Alex Smith? Is this going to make 49ers fans irate if he's the starter entering next year?
I think it will. And to answer your question, to put it bluntly, no, he doesn't. I think the 49ers want to move on. I think, I think the 49ers fans want to move on. I think Alex Smith wants to move on, but we could be in such a special circumstance with this offseason, you know, given the labor issues, given the fact that, you know, there's not going to be – there might not be a long offseason at all. There might be a two-week training camp or something very brief like that before the season begins. And there might not be a very big free agency period where someone like Smith can sort of shop his wares around. So at the end of the day, you know, he might be the 49ers' best option. And likewise, the 49ers might be his best option. I've called it a marriage of convenience, that in a very, very odd off season, he could end up being their best option, specifically at the beginning of the season, when a rookie that they might draft or a free agent that they might bring in isn't as familiar with the supporting cast, isn't as familiar with the offense. You know, Smith has played one season in the West Coast, so you know, it's definitely an option. I don't think it's a long term option. I think Smith is still going to want to see what else is out there, but it's a much, much bigger possibility in this strange off season that we might be going into than it would be in a typical off season.
I have to agree, especially with the uncertainty as we head into the next months. But talking about the 49ers, Matt, the biggest news in the Bay Area has to be the arrival of the savior, Mr. Jim Harbaugh, and also Trent Baalke, the partnership. I just want to get your take. What are your initial thoughts and impressions of Coach, and have you talked to him? What kind of feedback have you gotten? And just talk about the new management structure here for the 49ers.
Well, I've already talked about what Harbaugh's expertise is in, and that's offense and specifically quarterbacks. And in this day and age, the direction that the NFL is going, that's what you need. You need a guy who knows quarterbacks. You need a guy who can pick out quarterbacks and can develop them. And from everything that we've seen, of course, it remains to the story remains to be told. But from everything we've seen, Harbaugh is the perfect mold for that. You know, the thing that struck me is you'll remember that sort of bizarre courtship that Harbaugh had, where there were numerous teams going after him. The Miami Dolphins owner even, you know, took a private plane out to California to try to woo him to come to the Dolphins. And the 49ers took a very calm and relaxed approach. They didn't do the high pressure sell. They just kind of talked football. Trent Baalke just got into a room and talked X's and O's with Jim Harbaugh. And Jim Harbaugh responded to that. He liked the fact that they didn't come in, you know, waving their arms and, you know, giving him a story. They liked the fact that they were reserved in their approach. And I think that bodes well. I mean, Jim Harbaugh wasn't attracted by money. He wasn't attracted by, you know, private jets and glitz and glamour. He was attracted by the approach the 49ers took and the legacy that Bill Walsh had. I think that's something that is very important to Harbaugh, who was who arrived at Stanford right when Bill Walsh was there, and sadly Bill passed away a few months later. But they got to know each other, and I think Harbaugh really understands that legacy and you know, what it means to the Bay Area, and feels like he has to kind of live up to those expectations, and he's taking that task on. And he said all the right things about Bill Walsh and those 49ers teams that everybody in the Bay Area just loves and cherishes. So I think in that regard, he's already hit a home run. He realizes what's important to the area, to the team, to the franchise, and he knows the history.
Yeah, and honoring that tradition is crucial. I have to agree, but we referenced Alex Smith before, Matt. I want to talk about, in my opinion, some more important free agents that it seems to me might be crucial to the 49ers. We're going to get your take. It's the three defensive guys, Abreu Franklin, Deshaun Goldson, and Manny Lawson. These three, all three phases of the defense, secondary, D-line, and linebacker. Could you talk about those three, a little crystal ball action, if you will? Obviously, they want to keep Franklin in tow, but what about Goldson, who's been kind of a leader on this defense?
Well, you know, again, I have to cite this strange offseason we're about to get into, where we're probably going to have the draft ahead of free agency. So I think a lot of this will be answered by who they take in the draft. If the 49ers were to take a nose tackle, say a Phil Taylor or somebody like that, you know, pretty high in the draft, I don't think that Abreu Franklin comes back. You know, he has been very consistent for them. Patrick Willis swears by him. You know, he's the inside linebacker who's playing right behind Franklin, and his tackle totals are – you know, entirely dependent on how well Franklin plays. And if you've seen Patrick Willis's tackle totals, you'll know that Franklin's been playing pretty well. You know, nose tackles are becoming more and more expensive, harder to retain. Franklin is going to be turning 32 soon. So, you know, there are reasons why they might move on. Goldson has all the talent in the world, I think they still think that he's got – a lot of room to grow. He's a young guy. He's got size. He's got speed. He's got ball skills. I think Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, is going to run a more aggressive scheme than his predecessor, Greg Minuski, ran. And I think that's going to translate into more interceptions for guys like Goldson. He's a four-year free agent, which probably means he's going to be restricted. So I think they're pretty secure in thinking that he's going to come back. Lawson, I don't think that he's going to come back. I think he's a first-round draft pick. The 49ers took him in 2007, expecting him to be the sack master that you know, that they wanted in the 3-4 defense, and he hasn't been that. He's been very good in other aspects of the game. He's good at holding the edge despite, you know, struggling to get up to 250 pounds. He's good in pursuit. He's excellent in coverage. But he hasn't been a sack artist, and that's what you really need from that position. And I don't think they're going to want to pay top dollar for a guy who doesn't get a lot of sacks. And I really expect him to move on. I personally think that he's best as an outside linebacker in a 4-3 scheme. He could play either side, weak side or strong side. But the fact that he just isn't consistently getting to the quarterback, I think, reduces his value in a 3-4 scheme, which is what the 49ers primarily are going to run under Vic Fangio.
Definitely not getting their return off the first-round investment. You want this guy killing the quarterback, and sorry quarterbacks out there, but that is the rules. This is what they want from Lawson, and I've got to agree, Matt, that's somebody that may be leaving the Bay Area soon. We have had you on, and now it's time to put the hot lights on. We're putting you on the spot, Matt, on the clock. The San Francisco 49ers, pick 7. Could you give me your dream scenario, a player you would love to see them draft, and also a downside, maybe a player they may draft that it might not work out like they plan. Your thoughts, pick number 7 for the Niners.
Well, he's a guy we've already talked about, but I just think he would be perfect for this team. You know, Vic Fangio and Dom Capers are very close. They've worked together you know, something like 16 seasons. They run a similar 3-4 scheme, and I think if Fangio had his own Clay Matthews, a guy that he can move around, that can rush the passer, he really becomes the wild card that an offense has to game plan around. You know, this defense could be top 5, and the guy I think that is perfect for that is Von Miller. I mean, you referenced it earlier. He's been spectacular at the combine. He was he shined at the Senior Bowl. He's been consistent. He's a senior. He's you know, his best attribute is rushing the passer, and I think he'd be perfect. You know, the guy that that they might end up taking, who might struggle. You know, I think any of those two quarterbacks at the top of the draft, Blaine Gabbert or Cam Newton. You know, if they get drafted that highly, you're going to expect them to step in and become starters right away. And you know, both the possibly very abbreviated off season, coupled with the fact that they both come from spread offenses, means I think that that learning curve is going to be delayed. Certainly, if there's a long labor impasse in 2011. And that's something that might frustrate some fans. You draft a guy, you pay him a lot of money, and he either doesn't start right away, or when he does start, he struggles. But I think that's what would happen if you draft a quarterback highly in April.
Excellent commentary. And yes, the fans would expect to see that quarterback immediately making a difference, and it might be a rough start. I will take you off the clock, sir. It has been great having you on, Matt. Just getting your take, the inside scoop from the Bay Area. Once again, just can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk with us, Matt.
Oh, not at all. It was my pleasure. Had a good time talking, and thank you for the good questions.
Well, absolutely, Matt, and hopefully we can get you on maybe a little closer to the draft or after to get your feedback.
Sounds good. Would love to.
All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to On the Clock, San Francisco 49ers with Matt Barrows, lead beat writer of the 49ers, Sacramento Bee. You can check out more of his stuff there and get your San Francisco 49er fix on. It has been an excellent show. I want to let you know all week long and all month long leading up to the draft, you know where to go. It's NFLDraftBible.com. The new relaunch is getting fired up. Scouting Combine Info, where college football and the NFL collide. Stay tuned at NFLDraftBible.com for the relaunch. New members, have any questions? It's media@DraftBible.com. Until next time, you folks out there, stay classy.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!